You're listening to Footy Roundup, Rob Serjanik and Matt Tidcom. In today's show, Maddie, we're going to be going through the MLS Champions League and Europa League as it currently stands in the first half. In the second half, as usual, we'll be going through the big four leagues and our studs and duds. Getting things started with the MLS, a little bit of a disappointing result for Toronto FC, but not without a little bit of controversy.
Yeah, crash back to reality to some extent, right? 2-0 defeat away at Columbus Crew. I mean, at the end of the day, Rob, the big talking point of this game is the red card for Morrow. You know, was it deserved?
I wish the listeners could see me making the asterisk signal under red card because I thought that was a joke of a straight red.
To me, it wasn't a red card. Yeah. We both agree on that, and I think a lot of people will. I think the reason it was given a red card is if you watch the replay a little closely, you see like Morrow gives him like a legal like shoulder barge.
Yep.
And then he slides in and takes the ball.
Ball first, too, which bothered me, yeah.
But then I think because he kind of put the striker off balance, that he then fell, and it looked like a red card, I guess, if you're quite aware.
Well, the referee was thinking, like, last man back, and he took him down, took away a scoring chance. Well, exactly. He did take him down, and he did take away a scoring chance, albeit legally.
Yeah.
That was really disappointing to see that. And it really kind of just really changed the tide of the game. Toronto had to really sit back after that and,
right. You
know, not come forward and attack as much as they would have liked.
Well,
right
on halftime as well. It's just literally the worst time to happen. I mean, to some extent, I guess you got the break to kind of
regroup. Yeah, tactically you can sort it out, yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, TFC never recovered and they give up 2 goals in 4 minutes and, you know, fairly early, like, well, an hour into the game. Justin Moram and then Kai Kamara getting the 2 goals. But the problem with both these goals is, Rob, they both came in from balls in. So TFC having trouble like clearing the back line, clearing crosses, which, you know, that's basic defending to some extent. Obviously, you know, you get beaten by good balls here and there, but, you know, at the end of the day, to give up 2 goals like that, I think was pretty poor, especially the Kamara one where he was wide open in the middle of the box. Like, he didn't really have anyone around him. So,
Matty, you got to think something like that. I mean, to some extent, it does come down to coaching. I agreed with you. It's kind of the, you know, simplistic basics, if you will, of soccer, being able
right.
to clear out corners and through balls and crosses in the air. Like, where does Toronto FC go from that? I guess they need to make this a point of emphasis because I know they've had trouble with that in the past, too. It's almost like they just switch off and they're not focusing during moments like that.
Well, I mean, we said in the Vancouver game, the first game of the season, they were torn apart at the back.
Oh, just pieces
just
in the beginning.
Shredded
yeah.
for like the first 25 minutes. And then, you know, things kind of started turning in their way. So it's clear to me very early through two games that this team, while it has some decent players at the back, you know, Caldwell, Morrow, Perquise, Crivell, you know, Bloom is kicking around still, Nick Hagdon, obviously.
Yeah, they have a little bit of depth there, too.
They have the pieces. You know, they have some, you know, pretty good defenders, but for some reason, it's just not clicking right now. I don't think a change of formation is needed or anything like that, because I think 4 at the back is kind of... I think in MLS, it's a pretty good route to go.
I agree. I don't think you can run, you know, some, like the 3-5-2 formation, which, you know, with the attacking wingback type deal, is a formation that back in the day, when I say back in the day, I'm saying, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, that was kind of prominent across Europe. Now you very rarely see it. I mean, Italy did run it, I guess, with some degree of success in the Euro and a little bit at the World Cup, but it's not really custom to do that anymore. 4 is kind of the standard now that you need 4 defenders.
And even look at the TFC roster, I don't know who's quick enough.
A wing back, yeah.
Like Benoit Cheroux might play on a wing, but is he old, he's a little up there in age, like he's mid-30s now, right? So I'm not sure they necessarily have the pieces to put that kind of stream together. I mean, we've seen it with United. Louis van Gaal plays 3 at the back and it just hasn't been working for them.
No,
you know, for especially the first half of the season. So
and you just end up almost playing so many guys out of position because guys are coming back more to defend because you only have 3.
Right.
When you're not getting forward in numbers, then you become a little tight and compact in the midfield. It's like one problem then compounds it into several little problems. And then
right.
you're just better off to just go with the flat 4, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, just going back to TFC, I guess, you know, like up front-wise, he had 11 shots, only 3 on target. Benoit Cheroux had their best opportunity in the first half of that like half volley that... You know, the goalie made a good save on. And also in the very last minute, the header, I can't remember who it was who headed the ball across the goal, but they just couldn't quite get on the end of the board there. So a little unfortunate, I guess, not to sneak a goal. But I don't know, when you're down to 10 men, you're... For a whole second half, you're pretty much struggling anyway, right?
Yeah, you don't want to make too much of the way in excuses or justification for the result, but we'll never know how it would have gone. I mean, it was nil-nil, you know, when the red card did happen.
And
we've seen Toronto in the past, not that you want to compare years necessarily, but take red cards in these situations, end up losing games like this 4-0, and they didn't. So I think maybe that's still worth something. They still have 3 points out of a possible 6. It's, I mean, at the end of the day of this road trip, you go 3-3-1, you're happy.
Yeah, well, yeah, like we said at the start of the year, right? I mean, the other half of this, though, is now Morrow's suspended for 3 games. You know, a straight red card is a free game suspension, right? So they got to figure out, you know, are they going to, you know, like Hagnon didn't start again. Mm-hmm. You know, do they bring him on or like maybe Ashton Morgan, both who came on at halftime to kind of, you know, ease the pain of losing Moore to the red card. So, I mean, do they, I don't know, do they, who do they draft in, I guess, is the question here for three games. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's time for any kind of overreaction here.
No.
Second game of the season, you know, one and one at the end of the day. I mean, I think when you have seven games on the road to start a year, you can't complain too much about that.
Especially with Toronto FC's history with road games. Too.
Well, exactly, right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, move on to the next one. They have this week off as well, which is very strange. But
hey, sort out that Moro situation, I guess.
I guess so, right? So, yeah.
Maddie, moving on to Vancouver, I guess maybe a little early to say, maybe not. Octavio Rivero becoming a little bit of a revelation for the Whitecaps. Scores again late to steal the game here, even though he had that howler of a miss against Toronto FC. It was just awful. I mean, the way he redeemed himself in that game and he took that pass off his knee in stride, slotted it home. Another cool finish here. Good situation, I think, for him in Vancouver now.
Yeah, I mean, he's been worth every penny so far, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, he's had a really good start to the year. Obviously, I think the miss, I don't think he'll ever live that down. That'll be something that will stick with him for a long while. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you continue to score goals, you know, people will forget about it.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, it's not like, I know, a couple of guys who maybe miss howlers and only score two or three times a year. If this
Former TFC situation.
Exactly, right? So if a guy, you know, if he bangs in 15 goals, which is, I mean, he's on pace, obviously, for a goal a game, which he won't keep up. But, I mean, he's probably looking at 20 goals right now, at least.
I think that's a feasible target.
Especially
I think for
2-2
sure 15.
To start the year.
Yeah.
Another 90 minutes. He had 8 shots in this game, Rob.
He's active, yeah.
I mean, that's more than, like, a lot of teams having games these days.
The brief play I've seen from him so far this season, he seems a little Diego Costa-like. He just gets
without
forward.
Without being a chippy and
yeah, not as much.
Everybody.
Like, yeah, might as well maybe not Diego Costa.
Getting everyone sent off.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's physical. He fires shots. Like, he's just always attacking, always going forward. He has a good motor, too. I think he's well-suited for the MLS, and hopefully for Vancouver's sake, it's a situation that works out for both parties, and he'll be there for a while. Matty, what about Montreal?
They didn't play this week.
Yeah. I know, New England that coming up next week.
Yeah, they have New England coming this week. But Montreal, looking ahead, play...
An 0-2 Revolution side, too, actually.
That is, yeah. True. Montreal, though, this week, they play... Our pronunciation on this is probably going to be wrong. But Alajuelense of Costa Rica.
Close enough.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, it sounded good enough, right?
Shout out Alajuelense.
Hey, yeah. Well, you felt it's under control already. In the CONCACAF Champions League, so a huge game for Montreal. Obviously, what happened last time... with the last minute goal to get
Pachuca,
through,
right?
Them. Yeah,
yeah.
So Montreal didn't have MLS this weekend. I think I said last week how strange that is, and how TFC don't have MLS this weekend. It's mind-boggling to me. But so busy week for Montreal though. The Champions League game, and then on the road away to New England, who are desperate for points.
Oh, they got. I don't want to say whooped, but I mean they got beaten comfortably, and
City.
They still haven't scored. Is New England, as absurd as it sounds, almost in a must-win situation against Montreal here?
I wouldn't say must win, but they could do with it. Scoring a goal, maybe. Doing something. So, I mean, yeah, we might as well get into some other results here. So New England, as Rob mentioned, fell 2-0 away in New York City.
David Villa scoring the first one, actually.
David Villa getting the first goal there. Mullins getting the second goal. First win in franchise history for them.
Oh, Matt, quick interjection here. Yeah. It was really strange to see New York City FC play at Yankee Stadium with the baseball.
Not cool.
I saw it all over Twitter, and it just looked absurd. It reminded me a little bit of like when you watch the Oakland Raiders play with the baseball. And it just doesn't look right.
Yeah,
it looks awful for a soccer pitch
bad.
On the side.
Like Villa scored and started celebrating, like ran towards the corner flag, and he just kept running and running.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
everyone thought he was stealing second at one point.
I know. I think he was going down the dugout. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good situation. They need to figure out what they're doing stadium-wise there.
It looks cool to see Yankee Stadium in the background, and then just absurd when you watch the game on the quality of pitch that they have.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've seen games like... There's been preseason games played at Fenway Park in recent years and other baseball stadiums, but... I don't know. It's not a long-term solution.
Yeah, soccer purists will tell you, you know, soccer-specific pitch, you got to have it.
You think come, like, well, I mean, hell, next month when the Yankees start playing, that they're going to be happy having these guys tear up their field?
Yeah, but it goes both ways,
not,
too.
Right? So, so that's one game. FC Dallas beat Sporting KC 3-1. Perez and Castillo, Perez scoring twice there for Dallas. Espinoza getting KC's lone goal. Seattle lost again. They played San Jose this week. They lost 3-2. Clint Dempsey and Martins getting the goal for
high-scoring game.
Sounder for Seattle, and Chris Wondolowski, who just scores goals for fun these days,
and then never features for the States.
Doesn't do enough for the US team. The second goal here for Wondolowski put his side up 2-1. defender decides he's going to try and head the ball back to his goalie and essentially misses the ball, and you don't give Chris Wondolowski those kind of opportunities. Real Salt Lake drew 3-3 with Philadelphia Union. This game was just full of errors. There were own goals. There was an own goal by Philadelphia by Olave, by Real Salt Lake, sorry, and then Kyle Beckerman, not Kyle Beckerman, the guy with the dreadlocks, what's his name for Real Salt Lake?
We'll get back to that in a minute.
He basically had an own goal, and the goalie somehow saved it, and then Aristeguieta, I believe is how you say his name, tapped in the rebound. He scored twice. Real Salt Lake got goals from Morales, Olev, and Saberio. Last minute, 88th minute penalty kick was not a penalty. I mean, we'll get to some other stuff this week, like in Europe. There were some really, really iffy refereeing decisions this week.
Oh, terrible. So bad.
And I guess the other result, two other results here. Orlando City won 1-0 away at Houston Dynamo. Good result for Orlando. Like New York City, that's their first win in franchise history. Derek got the goal there. A piece of terrible goalkeeping. Goalie tried to control the ball on a back pass. Kicked it about 15 feet, literally, in front of him. Derek ran in, chipped the ball past him. And then the goalie basically rugby tackled the guy to the floor. But somehow the ball ended up in the back of the net. And the other result, is Portland 2, LA Galaxy 2. Interesting game, though. 1-1 going into injury time. Addy scores a second goal of the game for Portland to go give them a 2-1 lead. But hold on a second. Gordon goes down the other end immediately and makes it 2-2. So those were basically the results this week. Toronto, as we said, are off. Montreal playing New England away. And Orlando hosts Vancouver, and I was right. It is Kyle Beckerman who.
Yeah, Beckerman was right. I thought you were talking about.
I was right. I should not question myself, should I?
Matty, I always got a soft spot for the Portland Timbers. I just love the fan base there, and just the energy that's in the crowd is just unbelievable. It's a lot of fun.
The chain still makes me a little nervous.
I know you're so unsettled by it. It's super unique, though.
It is, and that's exactly it. Right?
Yeah, I'm just glad that we're talking about MLS and that the season actually is.
Yeah, we got
because
going
that was
here.
Absurd to be concerned with that, but now it's obviously in full flight.
Tricky game as well quickly for Vancouver to go to Orlando. It's a really good matchup this week. Orlando and New York, both expansion teams. If we want to get into standings, I'm not sure if we really do this early in the season, but you know, both unbeaten, a win and a draw each in their first two games. Only two teams unbeaten this year, while DC United haven't played their second game yet.
David Villa and Kaká help a little bit.
Right? So, but yeah, I mean, it's a tough test for Vancouver to see what they can do by going to, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people said Orlando are going to be like a pretty good side this year. So yeah, an early away test for the Whitecaps.
Matt, moving on to Champions League, going through the results that are already done. It was basically, you know, two games that were over fairly quickly, two games that were actually quite exciting. In the academic column, I guess you have Porto 4, Basel 0, Bayern 7, Shakhtar 0. So
close games, eh?
Yeah, goodbye Shakhtar, Basel, and onwards and upwards for Porto and Bayern. There's not much you can really say about these games. I mean, the results were convincing. I think for Shakhtar's sake, it was really unfortunate to pick up that red right at the third minute.
You may as well just shut it down.
And then it's
1-0,
and now you're totally against. Like we said, go after it and go get it, and you're already down one and a man. So there's not much you can do at that point. It's just a question of how many when that happened.
Well, I mean, Boateng, Ribery, Babstuder, Goetzer, and Lewandowski twice got the Bayern Munich goals there in convincing fashion.
The other two games, Matt, incredible. Real Madrid lose 4-3 at home to Schalke after we to various levels of commitment were saying that this was pretty much all but done. We knew they had it the whole way. Let's be serious. That wasn't that close, was it?
Yeah, jeez. I mean, I don't know. Tip your hat to Schalke.
That was awful performance by Madrid. And then seeing them booed at the end and Ronaldo having this look that they just got blown out and they advanced was odd
really
to see.
Weird. Yeah. I don't know. This for me was game of the year so far, like in 2015.
Klaas-Jan Huntelaar. Remember what I said about him, that he does nothing when he's not scoring? When he's scoring, he's something because his finishing is sick.
Yeah. I mean, this is easily game of the year for me.
I'll give you one that might rival it, Matt. Chelsea PSG 2-2, the very other Champions League fixture. Yeah.
I mean, I think the big turning point in the Schalke game and the Real Madrid game was Ronaldo's goal right on halftime that made it 2-2.
Yep.
That was a huge goal because if Schalke go into the dressing room up 2-1 at halftime, like things are looking really good for them. And they were playing lights out.
And it was against the run of play too. Like Madrid was getting worked.
Every Madrid goal was against the run of play. Like they didn't deserve. They basically didn't deserve, you know, to score three times. You know,
did they realistically deserve to go through? You could say probably not.
On this game, no, they didn't. but they hammered Schalke in the first leg, right?
They had enough quality to see it off.
I mean, yeah. People, you know, Casillas had a, you know, wasn't great again, but he made a couple of good saves. The save on Herbedez towards the end was a massive save. So I mean, I don't know, people see, I've seen a lot of people saying bad things about Casillas from this game. Was he at his best? No, but he did make some saves that were definitely necessary. I mean, I don't know. To some extent, you're kind of speechless as to how good this game was. And I think for Schalke to do it without, you know, Farfan and Draxler and a couple of other guys was even more impressive. I mean, Huntelaar, who left the first leg injured and was staying in the hospital, was unreal. I mean, there's a lot of words we can use to describe his performance in this game. But like they were just fantastic.
Yeah.
You kind of feel sorry for them because, like you say, Ronaldo was sulking at the end. And, you know, I think the Madrid players didn't really clap their fans at the end of the game. Like they were.
Well, it's Madrid, Matt. Like they got to win by style points too, right? Winning
isn't
enough.
Right. Yeah. This was.
They got to need to win the right way. Yeah.
It was ugly. I mean, they didn't even win the game, right? Mm-hmm. But. Yeah.
Shout out to actually your fellow Englishman, James Sharman, before the game started, touting that Madrid was missing the hole of having Luka Modric in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back today. And I think that's a really big thing for Madrid going forward. Their link-up play between their defense and strikers have been abysmal since Modric has been out.
Yeah, a good game of the weekend as well.
Yeah. So I think that's going to help out Madrid quite a bit. But their defending still, Matty, at times is just straight comical with the players they
Especially have. Especially if Casillas is off his game, which, you know, unfortunately, he has been in the last, you know, year or two.
Yeah.
It makes it, you know, life a little more difficult for them.
But it's those unheralded midfield players that can really make a difference sometimes in the game. If the strikers aren't getting the ball in the right spot, it doesn't matter. The team needs to be together as a cohesive unit. And right. I think Madrid-Barca is going to be quite a battle down the stretch, though, for La Liga.
Well, they play this weekend.
Yeah.
So.
Moving on to Chelsea-PSG, Matt. This game... I don't even know what to say. Like what you described about the last game is how I felt about this game. This might have been one of the best games I've seen in a really long time,
well,
at least in the past year or so. At full marks for PSG for going through. Realistically, I mean, Ibrahimovic's straight red I thought was garbage. You know, Oscar rolling around making a meal out of it. Both of them went for a 50-50 ball. Honestly, I watched the replay a number of times. It looked like Ibra took the worse of it than Oscar. But, you know, being bigger and deciding that I'm not going to be a baby about it, he didn't roll around and he didn't get the benefit of the call. And I think the Chelsea players rushing the referee and complaining like school kids at recess certainly didn't make the decision any easier. It was just really comical.
It was embarrassing. Yeah. But what made it even funnier to me, if you watched a replay, they were so adamant to get to the referee and protest that John Terry steps on Oscar's head.
So now he's really injured.
On the way to like shout at the referee about getting even... Like, he literally stepped on the guy's head. You can see Oscar on the floor. He's like, you know, faking his injury. And then Terry steps on his head and you see him go, oh, and like grab his head.
This game had everything, though. I mean, it had all the controversy.
Oh,
you know,
they
denying a penalty for, I think Costa was, who should have had a penalty shot at one point.
I think that was, I think that was a makeup call.
To some extent.
Yeah. You can make up, obviously, having a guy.
I would rather concede and be down 1-0 and still have my man than be 0-0. But I know what you're saying.
I guess
like, they're trying to make
it
a wash. And there's twists and turns everywhere. And then one second, you know, you had, I think it was Thiago Silva, the Brazilian captain. He takes a ridiculous handball. Hazard converts. You're like, oh, this guy's like the GOAT. He cost him the game. Comes back and hits the winner like minutes later.
6 minutes.
From zero to hero, just like in a blink of an eye. It was a wild game.
And then on top of that, you got David Luiz, the former Chelsea star, scoring the equalizer with 3 or 4 minutes left in regulation. I mean,
and then running his mouth like he was a pro wrestler over at Costa after he scored.
Even better, right? when Cahill gave Chelsea the lead with 10 minutes left, you're like, ah, man, like PSG held on for so long.
It's going to be hard, yeah.
And then I mean, at the end of the day, then you're thinking, well, they just go for broke because they have to now. And
mm-hmm.
they kind of did, and they got the Luiz goal, and then obviously onto extra time.
That's how you draw it up for PSG, right? Ibra doesn't do anything offensively. Send off your two central defenders, score your goals. That's what you want.
Essentially, right?
Yeah.
You know, where's Cavani? Oh, yeah. He
hit a bar,
where's
though.
Lovetzi?
He was close.
Oh, yeah. He did. I mean, the games this week have a lot to live up to now.
For sure. Yeah, moving on to the ones we do have this week, Matt. Monaco, Arsenal, Atletico, Bayer, Barca, Man City, and Dortmund and Juve.
Yeah, so let's start with the Arsenal game quickly here. Obviously, down 3-1, the last-minute goal.
I'm not saying anything after what Real almost did, that this is fully over. I'm going to
gotta
wait and see how this goes.
This is an open game still, but I'm with Monaco here. I don't see them. Arsenal forgot to score twice.
It is the away goals. That third one that we talked about might be the difference here,
yeah,
even if it ends up being a close
tie. Yeah, Carrasco and Jeremy Toulon, two of their best players, are doubtful for this game for Monaco, and Arsenal are without Oxlade-Chamberlain, Wilshere, and Debuchy. So a couple of injuries for both teams there. Moving on to Atletico and Bayer Leverkusen. Obviously, Bayer Leverkusen up 1-0 from the first leg. Atletico, remember, had that goal disallowed.
Yeah, I thought it should have been a good goal as well. I still like Atletico's chances here, honestly.
I do too. They are without Diego Godin, who was suspended for this game, and Thiago is also out. And for Leverkusen, Lars Bender and Emir Spahic are both doubtful. Lars Bender, obviously, is a big loss there for Leverkusen, potentially.
This one might be an extra time type of game, too.
That game, yeah. Barcelona and Man City is obviously the tie everyone wants to watch here. I mean, the big talking point, obviously, is the Messi penalty miss in the last minute that would, for my money, would have written
killed
put
this
tie over.
Yeah. They'll rue that if City pulls this out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's easier for City now. They got to go there, win 1-0, and see you later, right?
I'm expecting an open game out of this, too. I don't think Barca's just going to sit back and counter. It's not really
But, I mean,
style.
Man City has to score twice, though.
Yep.
You know, Barcelona have two away goals here, so... I mean, actually, I think I said...
No. City only needs one if they win 1-0.
But it's an away game. They go out on away goals.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Two
and
away
actually,
goals for Barca.
I just tracked myself
yeah, no,
on the Arsenal game. Arsenal have to score three goals as well.
Yeah.
Not two, because two goals...
The away goals is a pretty ruthless rule. Like.
It is ruthless, but it's good, though. Yeah. I think it's just... I mean, it's been around for so long that you just... you respect it, because it makes games more exciting, for my money. So, yeah, Man City, obviously. I mean, I think this game tight is over. Man City are pretty healthy going into this game. Barcelona without Sergio Busquets is about the only guy who's out for them. Thomas Vermaelen, remember him that he used to play for Arsenal?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think anyone remembers he plays at Barcelona anymore. And just finally...
Just a smidge of depth on that team, eh?
Yeah, I know, right?
But they go nine deep at central mid.
Yeah, Vermaelen's out, though, just for those who are interested. But he hasn't played much for Barcelona this year due to injury. I guess finally the last game is Dortmund-Juventus. You know, Juve up 2-1 from the first leg. I think this is the game that I'm most interested in, because I think Arsenal, Monaco, Barca, Man City are both over. Atletico Madrid and Bayer Leverkusen is going to be a good game, but this is the one I'm really curious in, especially with Dortmund at home. I can see Dortmund winning this game 2-0 and advancing, you know, 3-2 on aggregate or something along those lines.
Or you could see a 1-1 too.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities in this game. The big injury news here, though, is no Andrea Pirlo for Juve. He is out of this game. So
it's fascinating, Matt, that potentially, when you're looking at these ties, you may have, you know, two fairly over fixtures and two super close fixtures again, just like we saw in the previous. So we're both, I guess, on Arsenal and Barca, or sorry, Monaco and Barca going through.
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
I'm gonna take Juve to hang on, and I think Atletico is gonna come back and pip Bayer.
I'm gonna go Dortmund and Leverkusen both to advance.
Ooh, changing it up on me. Change your mind on Atletico last minute, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
We'll see. We'll tally it up as we always do. Matt, the last couple minutes, Europa League.
Yeah, let's just quickly run through the results here. Zenit beat Torino 2-0 in the first leg. The second legs are this week as well, by the way. Club Brugge beat Besiktas 2-1. Dnipro over Ajax 1-0. Wolfsburg beat Inter 3-1. Everton 2-1 over Dynamo Kiev. Fiorentina 1-1 with Roma. Napoli
3-1.
Oh,
Roma tie. What a surprise.
I know, right? Napoli 3-1 over Dynamo Moscow. And Villarreal 1-3-1. Lost 3-1 at home to Sevilla. So I wouldn't say there was anything out of the ordinary here.
I think the one thing you could maybe point to is Wolfsburg getting a 3-1 over Inter. I felt like Inter was a little hard done by. Wolfsburg played very well, but you know, Inter, I think they took the lead in this game as well. To drop 3-1, it might be a little tough to overturn that one in Italy.
Yeah, I mean, 2-0 is all they need, I guess, right? To, you know, get the away goals rule.
They can still have it to play for. I just think that third goal, we'll see. It's going to make it tighter.
The second goal for Wolfsburg here as well, like the inner goalie. I can't remember who the inner goalie is these days, but you know, like a pass across the face of his box.
Oh,
just intercepted.
Horrible.
That's like grade one soccer knowledge. Like, you just don't do that. Like,
right in front
in
of
any
your net,
but like any sports, like hockey, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you're always protecting it.
Don't ever pass in front of your goal, right? So, I mean, that kind of stuff happens. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary. A lot of these ties are, well, actually all of them are still wide open. Maybe Sevilla-Villarreal might be the only dead tie here, because three away goals for Villarreal
Sevilla
is just going to be almost
impossible.
Oh,
for Villarreal to get, yeah.
It's almost impossible for them. But everything else here is right in play. You know, I mean, Wolfsburg-Inter is going to be intriguing second leg, as is Fiorentina-Roma. Can Everton go to Ukraine and, you know, get a result there to advance, you know, into the next round? And can Napoli go to, you know, Russia and, you know, hang on to their lead? So
that's what's always super
here.
Interesting about these fixtures, teams and, you know, even players that never see each other going head to head in these battles, like, you know, playing in a completely different country than you're used to, like an Everton going to Ukraine. Like, that's super cool to me. Like,
yeah, it is.
Europa,
like, you know, like
Champions
Torino
League,
went to Zenit St. Petersburg to play a game, you know,
When's the next time they'll conceivably be there? 20, 30 years, maybe?
Yeah, because I don't think Torino are playing in Champions League anytime soon. Because, I mean, Zenit are like a routine Champions League team that seems to get knocked out and end up in Europa League every year.
But, as a neutral, though, I just love seeing these fixtures all close and competitive. It makes for great.
Oh yeah, I mean
the
next 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're gonna be.
You know where you'll be, yeah, and me too, actually.
Oh yeah, we will be there.
All right, we'll be back after the break. Second half of Footy Roundup back with you. Matt, jumping into the Premiership, a bit of a stumble for Chelsea, but they're still comfortable up top.
Bit of a stumble for a few teams this week. Like you said, I guess Chelsea, first of all, after on the heels of their Champions League disaster, they then go and draw 1-1 at home with Southampton. Diego Costa got the goal for Chelsea, and then Tadic got a penalty for Southampton, also in the first half. Only a couple minutes after Costa had scored, actually. So, drop points for the Premier League leaders. But when they lose, well, when they drop points, I should say.
And City loses,
it doesn't really affect.
In fact, they've actually lost more ground.
Yeah,
because they
got
nothing and Chelsea gained one.
And gained one. Yeah. I mean, for Chelsea, you look at that and be like, well, we could have almost sewn up the league by now.
They still have a game in hand,
They
too,
do
right?
have the game in hand, yeah, against Leicester. So Man City losing 1-0 away at Burnley. I mean, that's a shocking result.
It's poor,
I don't think
yeah.
there's any other way around it. Burnley, 18th in the Premier League right now.
Lost, too. We're not even like a late cheap tie, like lost.
Yeah,
it's lost. Bad.
Boyd got the goal. Nice goal, actually. Nice half volley for him. But yeah, I mean, this is a terrible result for City. Now they sit 8 points behind Chelsea with a game in hand. Sorry, I apologize. They're 6 points behind Chelsea with a game in hand. And Arsenal are now. I mean, Arsenal sit only a point behind City.
Yeah,
and United sit 2 points behind City.
City's stumbling hard. Yeah.
We've talked about how United have struggled this year, and
they're still hanging
look at
around.
Them. They could very easily finish second this year, which would be, all things considered, phenomenal.
A good season, yeah.
Talking to United, they won 3-0 at home to Spurs. Spurs have just been in a kind of a free fall in recent weeks. Obviously, your Europa League loss to Fiorentina, and Fellaini, Carrick, and Wayne Rooney scored the goals. I guess we've got to talk about the Wayne Rooney situation.
Amazing.
For those who haven't known, a video appeared, was it yesterday?
I think
Sunday?
It was
the
day and a half
Saturday
ago, maybe,
Sunday,
yeah.
Of Wayne Rooney boxing in his million-pound mansion.
His kitchen.
With Phil Bardsley. And the video suggests that Rooney got
knocked on his ass.
was lights out and knocked out like we see in the UFC, right? And
the video would suggest not nearly as good a boxer as a striker at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
It was in under a minute, I think, TKO. So,
I don't know how authentic the video is. It's like a small, I don't know. When he falls to the ground, it could be, there's a chance that it was very quickly edited. But
I don't think so, though. The way he mocked it when he scored, he's like, I think he's admitting,
true.
I got knocked on my ass,
maybe,
and here
so.
I go, and now I'm doing what I do. You know?
My problem with this video is that there's no immediate help for a man who
that's
is England's
hilarious.
Best striker. He's on £300,000 a week.
Louis van Gaal having just like
just
a heart attack.
Potentially laying unconscious on his kitchen floor.
What is this? Charmin tweeted, he goes, like, great video. He's like, don't doubt that it's real. He's like, but find some better mates, Rooney. He said, because he didn't care.
Exactly.
Sure, they had a few pops in their system at that point when they're just laughing and not helping him up. But
the celebration was really, really funny.
It was funny, yeah.
It's good that he can poke fun at himself. That Rooney does actually have a pretty good sense of humor. Like, his hair problems he's had over the years and regrowing his hair and stuff. So he's not immune, and obviously the Shrek comments. He's not immune to some fun and games. Some other results from the league. Everton hammered Newcastle 3-0. McCarthy, Lukaku, and Ross Barkley actually got a goal at the end. Good for his confidence in getting back to form after missing time with injury. I guess the other big result is Sunderland losing 4-0 home to Aston Villa. Benteke and Agbonlahor both scoring twice. Villa are on a tear up right now. But the outcome from this game is that Gus Poyet has lost his job as Sunderland manager. Hardly a surprise. They're sat in 17th from the table. One
shocked
point
said
away.
Nobody, right?
Off from relegation. I mean, they've only won 4 games all year, which is the lowest in the Premier League. They've only won 2 of those at home, 2 on the road. They've drawn 14 games, though, which is the league high by at least 4 games. So
that's Roma-esque, no?
It is, yeah, I know, right? But the only difference is Roma win games, don't lose games too often. Problem here, though, obviously, is, if you turn a couple of those draws into wins, Sunderland are, pretty smooth sailing. But Gus Poyet is out of a job. Crystal Palace beat QPR 3-1. Zaha looked really, really good for Palace. After going to United from Palace last year, basically sitting on the bench for a year, he's back at Palace now. He had a really good game. But Matt Phillips scored probably Rob's goal of the season. 45-yard strike that was just, I mean, magical is maybe one way to describe it. It was a phenomenal goal. Definitely going to be in contention for goal of the year at the end of the season. And a couple of two other results. West Brom 1, Stoke 0. And Leicester drew 0-0 of Hull City in a game that probably no one worried too much about. And we actually forgot Arsenal's result, which they won 3-0 at home to West Ham. Giroud, Ramsey, and Mathieu Flamini getting the goals there for the game.
I guess as of the time of this recording, too, Liverpool has yet to play Swansea.
Yeah, they play on Monday. So that's later today as we sit here right now. So that's a good game, actually. That's going to be a really good game.
Further on the Liverpool point, they're also playing Man United coming up. It's a pretty big game.
Yeah, at home. Liverpool have this tendency to beat the big clubs at home, as we've kind of seen in recent years and even this season. So that's going to be a really good game, obviously. Newcastle-Arsenal is a really intriguing matchup, too. A couple of other games, Man City host West Brom, and QPR host Everton, and Spurs host Leicester. So, I mean, some good games coming up in this weekend, in the Premier League this weekend. Obviously, you know, after, a weekend where teams drop points at the top, and, well, the two teams at the top drop points, and then the other teams below them won again. You know, it's kind of close things down a lot now.
Matty, in La Liga, it was business as usual. Madrid and Barca both picking up ho-hum 2-0 victories.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no problems there. Messi scoring both goals for Barcelona and Gareth Bale scoring both goals for Real Madrid. There's a bit of a strange situation here with Ronaldo. The second goal, Ronaldo was shot from like the right-hand corner of the box.
Ronaldo was shot?
No, he shot.
Oh, he shot us. That'd be pretty strange.
That would be strange. I think that would be on the news if that had happened.
I'm like, how did I miss that? Twitter just took no note of that
exactly.
at all.
Ronaldo shot from... Jeez, you got this in my head now. Ronaldo shot from the right-hand corner of the box, top corner of the box, and like it kind of hit Bell on the foot. You could see he was trying to get out of the way, and it went in. And like Ronaldo's reaction was like really like of negativity, like really disappointed, and like he kind of looked like hacked off and frustrated. And it's, I don't know, like to me, you know, obviously a tough week in the week against Schalke, and then, you know, you're back on form here in the league. I don't know, it just didn't seem really necessary fitting. I don't know why he was so, you know, hacked off, I guess, that Bell didn't even intentionally put the shot in. And to me, on the replay, looked like his shot might be going wide. Anyway, Gareth Bell scored twice. He looked really good in this game.
He's been a little bit underwhelming for the most part, I found.
Bell,
yeah. Like, he hasn't been awful, but, you know, I think a lot more was expected of him when he got the contract he did playing for Real Madrid. But
I think he's been okay. I don't think he's been
But they didn't. But I'm saying
great.
They didn't pay him to be okay. They paid him to be top flight player.
But he's at his moments, though. I mean, I think he, for the most part, I think he's been decent. I think he's been worth the money. But I think there are, like you said, I think there's definitely room for improvement there.
Matt, I think the big news from La Liga we got to touch on is Valencia going ahead of Atletico now. Valencia's been hot, as we've talked about in previous shows.
Absolutely. 2-0 home win for Valencia against Deportivo Friday night. And then Atletico Madrid go and draw 0-0 with Espanyol.
Disappointing result.
Espanyol sitting ninth in the table. But yeah, I mean, this stage of the season.
Well, if you want to stay in the top three, you got to be picking up some like full points out of that. Yeah.
You know, Atletico Madrid now 56 points, are now 9 points behind Barcelona on 65. And then Valencia on 57 points and Real Madrid 64. So it's kind of like 2-2, really.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, I think we've said in the past, we're not quite sure if Valencia or Atletico can catch Barcelona or Madrid.
Well, it sets up a really juicy battle for first and third, which is nice to see
at
the table. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No other real results of much interest.
El
Sevilla beat Elche 3-0. Baca scoring twice in Camaro, getting the other goal. So they stay third, but they stay fifth. 52 points. I mean, they're too far behind. They might be probably Europa League again for them next year. But obviously, Rob, coming up this weekend is
you're looking at the you're not looking at Elche Valencia as the biggest game in La Liga this week.
Well, yeah. I mean, Valencia might be, but I think
Barca Madrid, of course, yeah.
For us neutral folk, Barcelona and Real Madrid, is that the new camp? I mean, I don't know, I think for Barcelona, you just got to avoid defeat.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Matty, either team picking up 3 points here might be the game that gets them the title if it happens. So for that reason, I'm expecting a draw.
I'm going to go Real Madrid win.
You are?
Yeah, I'm just going to go Real Madrid win, and we're...
flipping spots again, huh?
No, yeah.
No, I mean flipping spots at the top of the table.
Yeah,
neck and neck battle down the stretch. Yeah. Matty, Serie A.
Yeah, pretty, a really dull week in Serie A. Doesn't help that there are three games being played today, of which all three games are actually really good games. Fiorentina-Milan, Torino-Lazio, and Roma-Sampdoria. But, you know, we'll deal with that next week, I guess.
So you weren't glued, Matt, to an online stream for the Udinese-Atalanta 0-0 draw. That didn't happen?
No. No, it did not. Not this week. So, yeah, there's one result, 0-0. Sassuolo beat Parma 4-1. The other big news here with Parma is, A, we know how bad they are.
Did someone get paid this week?
No, they didn't.
No, still?
And they got a 2-point deduction because they haven't paid any play.
My goodness.
So they've lost two more points in the league standings this year.
So that would be a very aggressive no from Madrid. Come on, footy round up.
So Parma, they're done and dusted. 9 points from 25 games as they sit. They are, what's 25 minus 9? 16 points. Away from safety. So
they got this.
They won't be making it.
And they're
it
even
out,
dropping points while not playing, too, like you said.
But do you know where Parma finished last year in the league? They were sixth.
That's insane.
They were sixth last year.
It shows how much can change how quickly.
Well, money talks, right?
For sure. Everything else walks, as they say.
So Parma, we've already known for a while, they're doomed. But doesn't help when they lose 4-1 on the road. Inter Milan drew 1-1 at home with Cesena. Palacio getting the goal there for Inter. The only other result was Verona beating Napoli 2-0. That's a big result. Napoli go to fourth now on the table.
A little bit disappointing for Napoli, I would think.
But our boy Luca Toni scored both goals.
I don't know why he's become our boy, but that's exciting.
Maybe my boy. I don't know. I've always kind of been a big Luca Toni fan. Just because he's a little different than everyone else. And he we talk about Huntelaar, just kind of scores goals and gets it on with it. This is Luca Toni's the exact same. I mean, he just scores goals for fun.
It's funny, Matt, when we were looking at some of the team sheets in Serie A earlier today before we went on the show, I saw Gilardino for, I think it was Fiorentina. And now I'm hearing Luca Toni. It's like we're going back to the 2004 Italian striker tandem.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, like, Luca Toni's 37. In 61 games with Verona, he has 33 league goals.
It's pretty solid.
That's some good goal scoring, right? So, I mean, we've already known he scored goals. I mean, he scored a ton of goals at Palermo and Fiorentina, even Bayern Munich. Kind of dried off a little with spells with Roma, Genoa, Juve, and even his second stint with Fiorentina. But back with Verona, he's been lights out. He's been really, really good for them.
I don't know what it is with these older Italian strikers hanging on for so long. Like Totti basically being the cross bearer for that. Like he's just been incredible and
but Totti
a staple
playing
for
every
Roma
week these days now. And, I mean,
yeah, they're managing him a little bit better. Yeah,
managing a North American term of managing his minutes, as they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean Totti is he's one of the greatest players of all time in Serie A history, right? So.
Matty, quick run through for the Serie A fixtures.
Yeah, Milan Cagliari, Juve play Genoa, Udinese Fiorentina, Cesena host Roma, Sampdoria Inter is a nice looking game, and I think that's Parma versus Torino, but for some reason it says Parmia. I think there was I dropped an I in there on my notes. So
that's
funny,
amazing.
Funny how we both noticed that as we were going.
That's how much respect Parma's garnishing from Matt these days, or anybody for that matter.
So, but just quick update: Roma sit 14 points behind Juve in the Serie A table. Roma do have the game in hand, but.
Hey,
as
Matt,
we've said for a few weeks, this is over.
Matt, you had to lay a couple quid on a matchup. Parma versus Parmia. Who do you have? Yeah. I'm going Parmia.
Parmia might have a chance.
The last league, Bundesliga.
Bayern Munich just keeps steamrolling, Rob. 4-0 away win at Werder Bremen.
I think we talked about this last week. Is there even a point to include this league on the show anymore for the duration of the season?
I think, well...
You talk about even second, Wolfsburg's pretty safe right now.
To be honest, though, like, I mean, I know you're joking when you say that, but for me, Bundesliga is the best league right now. Because every week there's like 5-4 games, there's 3-0s.
You could argue
games.
It is the best
there's
league,
goals every
except
week.
When you look at the table because it's not competitive.
Right.
Yeah,
it is.
The games in isolation, I agree.
The only thing
you.
I will say, out of all these four leagues, this is the league I'm super excited for next year. Because I think Wolfsburg, Mönchengladbach, Leverkusen, you get Dortmund back to form. I think next year Bundesliga is going to be a cracking league.
Matty, did anyone expect this much out of Mönchengladbach? Like third in the table?
Maybe some German media did.
Yeah.
But I don't think I can sit here and tell you they did.
Like I thought maybe mid-level 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think you could maybe look 6th or 7th for that kind of team. But, you know, they picked up a 2-0 home win at the weekend against Hannover. Patrick Kerman scoring both goals for Mönchengladbach. Bayern Munich, as we mentioned, 4-0 away at Werder Bremen. Müller, Alaba, and Lewandowski scoring twice. The guys on, I think it was Eurosport who broadcast this game in Europe, were raving about Müller and just how unselfish he is. Like, he set up both Lewandowski goals. He scored himself. I mean, Müller is a world-class player. I mean, we've seen that at World Cups over the years. I mean, he's top class. Wolfsburg beat Freiburg 3-0. De Bruyne, Arnold, and a Rodriguez penalty. Actually, a really good penalty, that one. So comfortable win for them. As we said, Bayern are first, Wolfsburg are second. There's no getting around that. They're going to be where they are. Schalke followed up their 4-3 away win in Madrid with a 2-2 draw away at Hertha Berlin. I would say, I don't know.
Not if very good, yeah.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's not. I don't know, maybe they expended all their energy, right, in midweek. A couple of other results. Bayer Leverkusen beat Stuttgart 4-0 Friday night. Dortmund drew 0-0 at home with Köln. Paderborn got hammered by Eintracht 4-0. And Hamburg continued to struggle with a 3-0 loss away at Hoffenheim. So Hamburg sitting outside the relegation zone in 15th on 25. Paderborn, Freiburg, and Stuttgart are the three teams.
I hope Hamburg stays
at the bottom. It's too big of a club to go down.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with you on that front. But everyone else, you know, Dortmund, Werder Bremen, kind of just hovering around mid table as they have done all season, I guess. Fixtures coming up this week, Rob. Hannover hosts Dortmund. Werder Bremen are on the road away at Köln. Schalke hosts Bayer Leverkusen. That'd be a good game.
Yep.
Mainz Wolfsburg. Munich hosts Borussia Mönchengladbach is a really good game too.
That's actually two really big fixtures.
Yeah,
this
obviously
week.
Not Barcelona, you know, Real Madrid level. But
I'm
really
a little more into
fixtures.
the Schalke Leverkusen matchup. I mean, I know Mönchengladbach's third, but they're far enough
home.
Behind Bayern too.
I think if Mönchengladbach were at home, I'd be a bit more intrigued. But mm-hmm. yeah, Schalke Bayer Leverkusen, as you say, is a, you know, that's fifth versus fourth. You know, Leverkusen. If Schalke win that game, they hop on several points with Bayer
exactly,
Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot on the line there. You know, as the season starts to somewhat wind down, as we say. I mean, we've still got quite a few months left yet, but it's on that route.
It's a mere formality, though. Bayern Munich. It's long been over.
Germany and Italian leagues are over.
Matty, our studs and duds segment. Who do you have as your stud for this week?
My stud is Schalke. I don't think you can really overlook their 4-3 win away at Real Madrid. Obviously, they went out overall, but...
Yeah, the first leg, I think they lost 2-0 at home,
yeah,
right?
Did, yeah. So, I mean, an unbelievable result for them. You know, we touched on that in the first half of the show. I mean, I keep it that simple. Obviously, going out to Hertha Berlin and drawing 2-2 is a bit of a, you know, back to reality, as they say. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Even if Schalke lost, you know, I think you could easily argue Schalke to be your stud.
Yeah, if it was 4-4, yeah.
I mean, also, you could really add that... Bayern Munich is an honorable mention there. 4-0, 11 goals in two games this week is a pretty good
haul, yeah.
From what I understand.
Matty, my stud is Paris Saint-Germain, drawing 2-2 at Chelsea to go through on away goals, overcoming, for lack of better terms, I'll call it the BS Ibra red card, because, yep. You know, that was just ridiculous. And crazy stat, they said, I heard the commentator say shortly after Ibra's red, that four of the last five Champions League games when... PSG has gone down a man, they've won. Now, granted, they didn't win this game technically, but they won. So I'll give them a 5 out of 6 for that one.
Well, plus Ibrahimovic was sent off after like 28 minutes.
Yeah,
so
they played a long time, and it went to extra time, too.
They played over 90 minutes without him.
I think they're full marks for going through for me, PSG.
Yeah, and my dud is the opposite end of that spectrum. Chelsea, obviously, going out in the Champions League, and then they follow that up with a dud result at home to Southampton. Don't get us wrong, Southampton, you know, have been right up there all season long, but... At this time of the table, when Chelsea are, you know, pushing on to win the league, it's a disappointing result, disappointing week for Chelsea. You know, obviously with the reaction of Mourinho to the, you know, everything that's gone on this week, the players surrounding the referee with the Ibrahimovic thing, it's just been a dud week for Chelsea.
Nice little segue off that for my dud, Matt. We've stayed really, you know, married to this Chelsea PSG game. I'm going a little different. I'm specifically picking on the official Bjorn Kuipers from the game PSG and Chelsea.
Shout out.
He was just abysmal, Matt. There was the Ibra call we mentioned. You know, Oscar made a meal out of that, you know, contact with Ibrahimovic. I thought Ibra got the worst of it, but didn't react and roll around and make a big kerfuffle. And the ref kind of just succumbed, I think, to Chelsea's players surrounding him like angry children, which I'm sure was instructed probably from Mourinho to do so.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, notwithstanding that whole play, there was several other ridiculous incidents. He denied a clear penalty when Cavani took down Costa in the box, which you mentioned may or may not have been a makeup type call. You could easily argue David Luiz and Costa should have both been sent off at various times for, you know, ridiculous off the ball stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it was late in the second half. Costa shoved one of the defenders. I don't remember if it was Luiz specifically. I don't think it was. Maybe it was Verratti. And the ref just wasn't even looking. Like, Costa was on a yellow after several warnings to get the yellow he had. Literally just shoved the guy, and the ref just like took off like a bullet. Like, oh, you know, there's been no controversy in this game, so I'm not going to watch Diego Costa at all. I'm just going to turn around.
Do you remember Costa being this feisty in Spain? Because I don't.
Yes and no. I mean, like, I know this physical, moments, but, but like his temper, like he doesn't even try to control it at all anymore. It's almost strange. Like it's become part of Chelsea's strategy for him to be this ridiculous to his opponents.
Like,
and
I'm
just
all
try
into
to get in
like
heads.
You know, being competitive and flying in for tackles and stuff. But like his like after with the whistle's blown and stuff, he's like he kind of acts like a baby, really. I mean, it's,
he does. He complains a lot, which is not fun to see in a soccer match. And it was just an absolute gong show for Kuipers. I mean, he could ref another 20 years. I don't know if he's gonna have a worse game than that. I read an article on Sky Sports that said at one point in the game he had, I think it was 4 major calls to make in 12 minutes, and arguably he got every single one dead wrong. So there's a big F minus for Bjorn Kuipers from me.
I'm with you on that one.
But I mean, at the end of the day, Matt, PSG deserved a result to go through in advance.
Yeah, oh, no question about it. Before we get off the air, quick shout out. Give us a follow on Twitter, Footy Roundup, and also check out our website, footyroundup.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter as well, at Matt Tidcombe, at Sportsnet Rob. Give us some love in and, you know, check out what we're up to online as well.
Thanks a lot for listening. That's it for Footy Roundup today.